Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So this morning's message is about peace. Specifically, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We've been looking at over the last few weeks what it is that Jesus brought to us when he came in the flesh. In no particular order, but I ask the question this morning, when you hear the word peace, what do you think of? What goes in your mind? What goes in your heart? Some would say it's a state of quiet or tranquility. Maybe freedom from disturbance or agitation. Some would say peace is an absence of war, harmony, or there is harmony. And a state of reconciliation between people that are at odds with each other, that would be peace.
How about hippies?
And I would offer to the conversation, how about a super snowy night? There's quiet, big snowflakes coming down. Now that's peace to me.
One where the power stays on.
Yeah. Yeah. But 2,000 years ago, God sent us peace in a person. We see in Isaiah 9:6 where Jesus is this prophesied Prince of Peace. So, Jesus is peace incarnate. What do I mean by that? In other words, he is peace manifested into the flesh. And he is the bringer of peace. We celebrate this fact that peace with God has come through his Son. Jesus is the giver of peace. He's the source of peace. He's where we get peace from. And he said, in John 14, remember when he was praying before he was getting ready to get crucified, that he said, peace I leave with you. In other words, he brought peace and he was getting ready to go back to heaven. And so he was saying to the apostles, peace I leave with you. And it's just, he's speaking to us as well. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. In other words, his peace is something entirely different. And it can only be found in and through him. So as the Prince of Peace, he brought it in the flesh. And so that's what I mean in peace incarnate. He carried it about in his own person. And he died to make it ours, to give us that peace permanently. And he left it as a heritage for the disciples who were left behind on earth when he ascended back to heaven. And he implants it and maintains it by his Spirit in our hearts. So we each can have peace. Peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing how when we talk about the attributes of Jesus and what he brought, how closely they connect to the fruit of the Spirit. I think that's by design. So Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. What does he mean by that? It's his peace is different. It's in contrast with the world's peace. And it's the method of his giving. He gives sincerely. He gives permanently and eternally. So remember we talked about joy last week, how there's joy in heaven over the even one sinner who comes to Christ. There's joy in heaven when the prodigal son or daughter comes home. And the same thing with peace, originated in heaven and it came and manifested on earth through Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So, all other thoughts or maybe forms of peace really are kind of earthly or worldly. They're not sourced in Jesus, who's our Prince of Peace. There's a contrast, too, between Jesus being the Prince of Peace, and we also know that there's a Prince of Darkness, don't we? The Prince of the Power of the Air. And we know that in sometime soon, that there will be the Antichrist coming, who will rule the world, and he is the Prince of Deception. So we have peace, and we have deception. The Antichrist is actually the antonym of peace. He brings distress and war, agony, worry, agitation, unrest, anxiety, and rage. The spirit of the Antichrist has been at work since the beginning of the church, and actually even before. People over time have been deceived, and they have followed this prince of deception. There will be a singular Antichrist that comes on the stage soon in the form of a person. And he will openly rule the world for 7 years. And he's gathering his followers even now, even though he hasn't been revealed yet. And he's prepping others to be the follower of him now for when he is revealed. And it's my prayer that you aren't one of those, that you are not one of those who fall for the deception. And the singular way to protect yourself from falling for that deception is having the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit comes in you, abides in you, as you've been born again and you've received Jesus as your Savior. So that's the one thing. If you think, oh, I'm too smart, I will never fall for his shenanigans, I will never fall for his deception, or if you think, I can stand, I can overcome, I'm tough, I got great faith, you're already deceived. Mm-hmm. We need the Spirit of God to hold us, to help us stand, to recognize when deception is being thrown at us. So my question is, which will you choose? The Prince of Peace or the Prince of Darkness? The Prince of Deception? There's no third choice. There really isn't. It's one or the other. Interestingly, the prophecy of the Prince of Peace, meaning Jesus, was made nearly 700 years before he came in the flesh, before this day that we're celebrating this week. But the prophecy of the Antichrist was made about 2,700 years ago. And we don't know exactly when that will be fulfilled. Jesus says, no man knows the time when he's going to return. But the point here is, if the prophecy of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into being, it happened just like Jesus said, or God said, just like the prophets of old said, hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened, just like they said, can we not believe that the prophecy of the Antichrist will happen just as the Bible says? Yeah. That's one of the powerful things about prophecy is, when it's spoken in a time, in a way that the people that spoke it weren't even alive when it came into being. So people see it come into being and say, wow, that was just like it was said. It's one of the ways that we know God is true. God is real. Many people struggle with believing in an invisible God. And that's the power of prophecy. He spoke through prophets and he wrote it down. And when it happens, in just that unique, special way, at the perfect time, that's for us to believe. to remove any doubt that we might have. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read, start reading at verse 1. And the message here that Paul gets into is that we are saved by grace, only by grace. But he has to point out some reality first. In the opening of this chapter, he says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." So before we're born again, our plight was being dead in our sins. We had no hope. And then Jesus came, and Jesus was presented to us, and we gained hope. Midway through verse 2, "According to the prince of the power in the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Who are the sons of disobedience? It's everybody that has not believed on Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's it. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're not a son of disobedience. So you might mess up, you might sin, you might make a mistake, but you're not a son of disobedience. That's wiped away when you receive Jesus. Verse 3. "Among them, we too are all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. So that's that transaction. We've been pulled out of darkness into the light. We have a seat in heaven. We have a place in heaven. Our mansion is being built as we speak. Next slide. So I asked you how you feel when you hear the word peace earlier on. Peace is not a metaphorical thing. It is a person. It is in the person of Christ. I'm going to read through Ephesians 2 a little bit here as he fleshes that out for us, because I'm sure most of us think of peace as just a metaphorical thing. We don't think of it in terms of being in a person, a person. If you're in Ephesians 2 still, move down to verse 14. "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." What groups is he talking about? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. And we are bonded together, grafted together because of Jesus. And we've become one. What is that one? You know, the Jews didn't become Gentiles, the Gentiles didn't become Jews. We all became the redeemed. We are the household of God. So that dividing wall that we had between the Jews, the chosen people, and the Gentiles, whom they considered dogs, is broken down, and we're all one in Christ. Verse 15, "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances." How many of you got that down? How many of you figured that out and was able to obey all the commandments and, you know, never sin and never mess up? Anyone? No. I don't think we have too many takers on that one. Which is good. We all recognize that the truth is, you know, we've all sinned. There's no one perfect except for Christ. midway through 15. So that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Amen?
Amen.
So where do we go from there? Verse 20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God. So when we come to Christ, when we are being built together, when we are redeemed into that one, we are changed. We are different people. We are a new creation. We are changed. In being fitted together through Jesus. I say this often, but you didn't arrive here today at this church of your own will. God, the Holy Spirit, prompted you to be here. Why? Why here instead of some other place that maybe is a little more sane? I've heard they're out there. No, it's here because God wants you here. And even more so, each one of you is created unique in God. And each one of you has something different to offer. We were singing about how the wise men would bring gifts of silver and gold to the Christ child. But here in church, God has drawn us, and each one of you has a gift to bring. And those are spiritual gifts. And we use them to help one another, to edify one another. You might find a brother and sister that's struggling, and you've got a way to help them. You might find a brother and sister who's discouraged or depressed, and you've got a way to sit with them and talk with them. You might find somebody in the church who lost a family member who died, and you can grieve with them. You might have a special word that God gave you in reading the Bible this week, and you can bring it and encourage someone else. So every one of us has something to bring. So, like joy, which we spoke about last week, peace is found in our relationship with Jesus. To obtain and cultivate our joy and peace, we must cultivate our relationship with Jesus. You see how that works? So, start your day talking to God, reading his word, listening to and singing Christian music, and praying. That's talking to God. Listen to God as well. You know, we so often think prayer is all about just spouting out all these things we need, and we're just talking, and God's trying to get a word in edgewise, but we're still talking. Part of praying is listening. Think about it. You pray, Father God, I need this, or this person needs this. What do you have to say? Shut up, listen, and he'll tell you. Sometimes we just keep blasting through. We didn't get a chance for us to listen. So start your day talking to God. Do your day talking to God. Continue reading his word, continue praying, but endeavor to do those things and see things through his eyes. Think about that. So often when we run into a situation or we meet people And we go into a challenging situation, and what's our first reaction inside? Oh man, they made their bed, they can sleep in it. Or, wow, just can't believe they could do that. Or how could they possibly think that way? But let's try to look at things from God's eyes. You know, how does He see it? You will be amazed if you ask God how He's seeing this situation. How should I see it if I'm going to see it with your eye? You'll be amazed what He tells you. You'll be amazed what He shows you. And it will set you on a totally different perspective. As we go through our day, try to be like Jesus towards others. You know, wouldn't Jesus, when He runs into somebody that's needy or broken or needs help or is poor, He's in the ditch, wouldn't He try to help? Wouldn't He encourage other people to help? Well, let us try to be like Jesus every day. Be quick to listen and slow to react. I think that's James 1, 18 and 19. If you want to really ramp up your faith, I think focus on that. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. How many times, how many situations in our day go negative because we're not quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger? So if we just do those three things, you would be amazed how things will change in your life. Now, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Who are the peacemakers? They are the ones who make peace by reconciling parties who are at odds. Remember how we read in Ephesians how we used to be like this, but now we're like this. We were at odds with God. We were at enmity with God. We were fighting with God. But once we received Christ, we're no longer at odds with Him. So a peacemaker would be who? It would be somebody that helps reconcile somebody that's not in Christ with God. And that takes sharing the gospel with them, praying with them, helping meet their needs, many different ways that you can help them bridge that gap. But bottom line is they've got to meet Jesus. And we can be those who introduce others to Jesus. One of the most important things. And then finally, end your day with talking to God again. Give Him thanks. Express your love and faith to Him. You know, just think about when your head hits the pillow and you're resting. And, wow, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for what I saw you doing. And, oh, God, remember this person. Remember that situation. But say goodnight to him just like you say good morning to him. You know, start your day, do your day, and end your day that way. And oh, I just want to finish this message by reminding you of Romans 15, 13, which says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and Merry Christmas. Let us gather around and pray for one another.